Today on We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals, we're talking about The King and I. We're headed to Siam, land of secret lovers, British school teachers, and stories about black slaves in America. Shall we dance or just whistle a happy tune? Time to start the show and the theme song, etc., etc., etc.
We really like
we have
musicals.
Opinions.
We really like
so we made
musicals.
This podcast.
How about we start by saying
welcome, since the king always says things in threes.
Welcome, since the king always says things in threes.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us today on this podcast.
Thank you.
That we have.
I'm James.
And I'm Elise.
Yes, you are, sir. Well, hey guys, welcome to We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. As we said, we're talking about The King and I, a.k.a. We Are Siamese, if you please. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, you're stopping. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going. Oh,
We are Siamese, if you don't please.
I didn't plan on singing that, but you know what? I did. Anyways, thanks, Connie Anthony, for that alternate title. Guys, you can find us on Instagram or on, what's the other one? Twitter. And, you know, alternate titles. Do them. We have fun. Yeah,
make them good.
Make them good. This week had some good ones.
It did.
It was hard to pick a good one this week. Nice. Or not hard to pick a good one. It was hard to pick one out of all the good ones.
Right, right. Clarification.
Anyways, so The King and I, let's get right into it. Let's not dilly-dally today, you know?
Oh, I didn't know it was serious business this time.
It's such a musical that's so near and dear to both of our hearts. I watched it for the first time, I would say probably when I was 30, less than a day ago.
And I watched it for the first time about 5 seconds ago.
So, this is such a fresh episode.
It is a fresh episode because we're doing it just now.
Right. This is such a fresh musical for the two of us. And I like doing episodes like this where it's like, oh, I've never seen that. We experience it and we don't even marinate in it. We just kind of hop right into the episode and we discuss, because this audience that we're talking to now gets to hear our raw opinions. You know,
very raw,
fresh out of the movie. Guys, this is a special episode. This is history being made right now.
Wow.
I mean, we've done this before, but not for The King and I.
No, or The King and me.
Yeah, not for The King and
us.
So what did you think?
So, yeah, you need to say things in threes because that's how the yes. king does things.
Yeah.
So, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
Were you or nah?
I don't know. I thought it was okay.
Okay. Well, what is the
okay. Well, we'll get to that. Okay. I still want to hear your whatever you're about to say.
Oh, my whole spiel?
Spiel it up.
Okay. Good. Mm. I truly knew nothing about this musical. So that was very interesting to me. I didn't know what I was getting into. So then when it turns out good, then I really am like very pleasantly surprised.
I enjoyed it. You asked me yesterday when I was watching it, how are you enjoying it? And I said, I am.
You said, eh.
I said, eh. Well, but now I've had a whole day. I actually enjoyed the story a lot more having read up on the history of it. It's based on a true story.
Right.
Which it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't feel that way.
Nope.
It feels very much in the vein of like a fairy tale. It just seemed weird to me, but I guess maybe I'm just a freaking moron.
Oh, okay. You're going to need to cool off for a minute. Just come back when you
can. Let me just take a sip of this water real fast.
Yourself. Oh, could you not smoke a bong while we're trying to?
Just drinking water. Now people are going to think I'm being sarcastic. They're going to think I'm actually smoking drugs when seriously I was
smoking
just drinking
drugs?
Water.
Drugs? That was a Evan Hansen reference.
Yes, a dear Evan Hansen. Evan Heaven. Dear Evan Heaven.
Evan Heaven, when I see his happy face,
oh,
writing
boy.
His letters to me.
Anyways, basically what I was saying is I just liked the, once I knew the history of it, I enjoyed the plot more.
So in order for you to enjoy a plot, it has to be based on historical fact?
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're twisting my words.
Well,
I'm just saying I felt like it was, I like certain things happened where I thought, like, it just seemed weird that it was happening. But knowing that it was based on true events, it makes more sense that they tried to fit those events into the musical. Well, let's start from the very beginning.
Start
then.
At the very beginning.
Every time we will.
A very good place to start.
So we start with Anna Leowens on a boat. She's coming to Siam, Bangkok, I believe. Which Siam, I guess, is Thailand now?
Yes.
Who knew, you know?
yep.
Lots of people. And the first song that we encounter is actually on this boat, Whistle a Happy Tune. What'd you think of this song?
So that was funny because it reminded me so much of These Are a Few of My Favorite Things. From Sound
yeah, it kind of has that vibe to it. It kind of reminded me of Mary Poppins, the just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
I see that.
It's kind of got that same, the same message, you know?
Yeah. I definitely would say it's like if Spoonful of Sugar had a baby with my favorite things.
With all of your favorite things?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of your favorite things the song, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things? Mm-hmm. Did you like that song, though?
I think it was a good intro to what we're about to experience.
I think also this would be a good time to say we're talking about the movie version of this musical.
1956.
1956.
There was another one more recently, wasn't there?
There was a cartoon. Oh. There was a cartoon version in 1999, okay. And then there was revivals on Broadway. Like I think as recent as 2015. But the reason I need to point out, because I liked Whistle a Happy Tune. I thought it was a good song, and it makes a lot of sense because this is the first time they're meeting these Siamese people,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of scared. They don't know what this culture's like. They're kind of, you know, a fish out of water type of thing, not really in their element.
They were on a boat.
And right, okay, a fish on a boat then. Mm-hmm. And she kind of says, well, if you whistle, people
work.
Will just assume you're happy, and then they'll kind of leave you alone. They won't bother you or whatever, you know, that kind of mentality,
mm-hmm.
like basically like fake confidence, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason, and I liked that when they were facing these Siamese people, but the reason I need to point out that we're talking about this version is because I started watching the animated version to see what it was like, and I didn't get very far, but that song is actually... It happens when they're being attacked by a sea serpent.
Whoa.
That some evil guy summoned from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. But she's just like they're in the midst of this storm and this giant sea monster's coming. And she's like, just whistle a happy tune and the deception will make them think you're okay. And I'm like, okay,
that
well,
works
we just
on
went-
sea creatures.
Exactly. That's it. Doesn't it? Shouldn't it makes sense in like a normal situation, like when you're around people that are kind of scary. But when you're singing about a sea serpent, I felt like no.
No, I thought that was cute. I think it's kind of giving that message of like, don't tell us how you really feel. Just pretend everything's cool. Cool beans.
Well, not really that. I don't agree. I think it's not so much don't tell us how you feel. It's more like when you are scared, people can tell you're scared and they can take advantage of you. Like strong people like to take advantage of scared people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of like not so much hide your feelings, but when you're in a situation where you might feel uncomfortable, maybe just being a little bit more confident will help the situation not be as bad as it could be. Because people respect confidence.
They really do.
You looked off in the distance like, if only I had known that 2 days ago.
I mean, I meant to say, yes, I know that for a fact.
That's their introduction to the Siamese people. And then they get taken to the palace to meet the king. And when she meets the king for the first time, he's getting a girl as a present.
Happy B-Day.
I'm 30 years old. I've never gotten a girl for a present.
That's just rude.
I know. I'm very upset. People have had 30 chances. No, okay. I understand at younger age, it might not have made sense. Yeah. But come on. When I hit 15, at least.
Ugh, too young.
15's too young to have a girl as a gift.
It is. I'm just picturing it now.
Why?
It's like you open your door and there's just like this girl, like big bow on her head. Happy B-Day, James.
Happy 15th birthday.
You deserve it.
Thanks, Grandma. But Anna takes this time to be like, no, no, no. This guy is not 15-year-old James. He is an adult king, and he should not be getting women as gifts.
Especially women who don't want to be there. I think that was, you know,
yeah,
one of the main things.
Yeah, she was not happy to be a present. And I just feel like, what's her deal?
Let me crack my knuckles. Let's get into it.
No, somebody actually says that later on in the movie. They're like, why aren't you happy to be given to the king? Well, the other wives are like,
she's a fool.
Yeah.
Shouldn't she be enjoying this?
She goes to meet the other wives.
Well, first she has to have an argument with the king. That is pretty important about that he promised her a house. And now he's saying,
that's right,
no house, no more.
No house, no more.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Which he doesn't know what the word et cetera means at first.
Which is,
what is this, et cetera?
Hilarious.
Yeah. And then he just keeps using it the rest of the movie. Yeah. And I did a little chuckle every time he said it.
Same.
Then she meets the wives, mm-hmm, and also the children. What did you think about the scene with all the children coming in and bowing?
I feel like every musical we've watched, I can somehow compare it to Sound of Music. Because it kind of reminded me of those kids when they're introduced with the whistle and they come marching out and they get in their line and, you know, they're very like stiff and solemn.
It did kind of have a Sound of Music vibe.
Yeah,
now that you,
I know.
Like even plot wise.
I know, right? Because like she comes and she's like the nanny teacher.
Yeah.
And then she's like trying to bring perspective to them and, you know, show them a different way, a more healthy way to be.
Yeah, and try to, like, make the father a little less stingy.
Yeah. So, only difference is, in Sound of Music, there was no wife. And then in this movie, there was, like, 39 wives. At first, I was just kind of appalled.
Because he wasn't being very fatherly?
Because he's not being very fatherly, and just because, like, there's no friendly interaction of, like, hello, Susie, how was your day?
Yeah.
And then like the one little girl's, or oh, I think it was a girl, tries to like run up and hug him and he's like, no, no, etc. Get away from me. Bow to me. And if my dad ever acted like that, we'd have some problems.
I feel like this musical exposed a culture. Now, whether it's accurate or not, I have no idea, but it exposed the American people, at least, to a culture that is very unfamiliar to ours. Mm-hmm. And that would be one of the aspects that would be very shocking to us. Why would a father act this way? But it's probably very common, especially in the 1800s. But then the kids would kind of get all cute and stuff.
Oh, they're adorable.
When the scene started, I was like, how many kids does this guy have? How many times do we have to watch kids bow?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want to see all those kids bow.
You didn't?
No. But then eventually it got to where it was like they were doing those cute little things.
Oh, yeah.
And there was these weird little interactions. But I wish that had happened faster because I was tired of seeing kids bow. Mm. Then Anna goes off with all the wives because she's now like she sees all the kids and she's like, you know what? I wanted to live in a house of my own, but whatever. I like these kids. I'll stay here. So she goes off to her quarters, but there's like wives everywhere. And she's like, am I ever going to have privacy? And the wives are just like, but we like you because you're different than us and we want to know things.
And they go through all her stuff and
Yeah.
It's pretty rude.
And they were laughing because they thought she was shaped that way, like the dress.
Oh, yeah.
So, but then she has this song that she sings, Hello Young Lovers, where she's basically like lamenting the death of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But in a very interesting way. What did you feel about that song?
I liked it. I think that it was kind of like an interesting moment of, you know, we're addressing the fact that she had a husband. She really loved him. She's very sad that he's passed. I don't know. I just feel like there's like a good attitude about it of like being hopeful towards, you know, other people that are finding that. And instead of, yeah. I don't know, just like instead of focusing on just being super depressed or whatever, just kind of like, I'm glad that happened. Like, I'm glad I was able to experience that. And I hope you all can experience the amount of love that I have as well. And goodbye.
No, I really liked it. It does show that like she misses her husband, but that's not really the focus mm-hmm. of it. It's more of like better to have loved and lost than have never loved at all. You know, that that old cliche. And then also I think it's an important song because what was her name? Tupton?
Mm-hmm.
She's listening to this song and it kind of, I think it inspires her to like kind of pursue her young love, because the whole point of the song is kind of like, don't give up. If you love someone, I've had an awesome love and it can turn out great. So it's like an encouragement to mm-hmm. young lovers. Yeah. At first, I didn't like the whole like subplot of the secret lovers.
So that's what you're talking about by saying like you didn't know why that was in there.
Yeah, it felt unnecessary.
I liked it.
I get why they did it, but it does give us a reason then at the end to like when the king's about to beat her because of her trying to sneak off with her lover, like it gives us a connection with that person. You know, it's not just like some random wife or something. It's somebody that was really trying to like have a life outside of this castle, but the king was keeping her there. So,
well, and also it's just the whole thing with the culture. It was very normal that he had all these wives and he had all these kids and the women,
et cetera.
The women just accept that they are considered second class. They accept that they have to like bow and do all these crazy things. They just take everything for what it is. And they're like, okay, this is how life is. And this one kind of is challenging it because she actually has something she wants to fight for. She has something to say about it. Whereas everybody else is just accepting that this is how their life is going to go.
But then this girl comes along and she says, well, maybe something is greater than just like being comfortable, mm-hmm. but maybe something like love can pursue somebody to want their independence. This is a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. This is the fifth one they did together. I did find it interesting that this song, the Hello Young Lover song, I believe Hammerstein's the one that wrote the lyrics. And it took him like 5 weeks to write this. And like he just couldn't get it right. But then when he finished it, he was like, this is the best song I've ever written. And he sent it to Rodgers to be like, what do you think? And he never heard anything back from him. And then like 4 days later, they were talking on the phone and about something completely different. And then Hammerstein was like, so about that song, what'd you think? And he was like, it was fine. So like, here's this thing he thought was the best song ever. And his buddy's just like, yeah, that'll work.
That's kind of sad.
It'll do. A puzzlement.
Nope.
Didn't like it?
Didn't like it. That's really the only song I didn't like.
What did you not like about A Puzzlement?
I think one of my questions was, huh?
You were puzzled.
Yeah. I guess it served its purpose. I just don't know why it was there.
I think I understand the purpose of the song because right before that song, he's talking to his son, who will become king one day. And basically his son's saying, if you're king, you know everything. And so at what point do I know that I know everything? Like, if I become king, will I just know everything? Like, mm-hmm. you see this, the heart of like a real person before they're king, this title he has to live up to.
Yeah, a lot of expectation.
Yeah, and so I think it's like a little window into the king himself, because he puts on such a big front acting like he knows everything. Mm-hmm. But this song is kind of to show he's also just like right there with his son. Like, I am king, but I don't know everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that still confuse me. That being said, I don't know if it was a good song.
I mean, it's, you know, I hate to do this, but it's just his singing wasn't really enjoyable, I felt like, to listen to.
Yeah, and also, like, visually on screen, it wasn't a very exciting song.
Yeah, there
song.
Wasn't movement, really. It was just him with his arms in the air a lot.
But then we go into the Getting to Know You song, which is the only song that I knew about this musical.
Me like, too.
Every once in a while, we'll come across a musical where we have no idea what it's about, but then one of the songs will pop up and we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know this song. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason this song is so well known, because I think it's the most palatable song in the whole musical. It's not my favorite, but I think it's the easiest for the consumer to
consume
with their ear mouths. Did you like this song?
Favorite.
So this is your favorite song.
This is my favorite.
What about it is so yummy?
Well, I really just like to consume it with my ear mouse. What?
Yeah,
is that one?
Don't okay. we all? Yeah, just chew and chew away.
Chew and chew with those eardrums. I liked it, you know, one, because I kind of already knew it, so it kind of made me a little bit, like, happy to hear it. You know, it's familiar. But more than that, it's just I liked the scene of her meeting all these children and she – you know, coming from the approach of, like, she sees potential. She sees them as, you know, little humans that she can impact and make a difference mm-hmm. with. And she doesn't just view them as, oh, this culture's weird and these kids are strange. And I don't know. She definitely yeah. has, like, a heart for them. And she genuinely wants to get to know them. And she individually is, you know, meeting each of them, shaking their little hands, and she's teaching mm-hmm. them, you know, men bow this way, women curtsy. And
I think it's as the audience, we're kind of in her shoes on this journey. And so it's kind of nice for us to be like, if she's comfortable, we're comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, as she gets to know the people, we get to know the people. Plus there's cool fan dancing or whatever they did. The Asian fan dance. This girl came out with like one of those little hand fans. Mm-hmm. And she's like, does these little dances with it, but it's kind of like she throws it in the air and it's like Cirque du Soleil quality. Maybe not that much, but I was just every time she threw like the fan in the air and flipped it and then caught it, I was like, oh, I would have missed it.
Well,
it's the little things that impress me, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, these things take practice. You could get it if you tried hard.
You know what? Thank you for that encouragement.
You're so welcome.
Next week, I'm going to be a pro fan dancer.
I believe it.
Or a fancer, as we call ourselves.
You shouldn't.
After that song, which is your favorite song, we move into another song that is my least favorite song.
Which one's
Can you
next?
Guess what my least favorite song is?
Without trying to look, yeah. Let me think. She's getting to know them. And then, oh, I bet it's the one with the Tupti and her boy toy in the Garden of Eden.
Tupti? I think it was Tupton.
Ah, I forgot. I couldn't. I can't keep it together.
Yes. Tupton the slave girl and her boy toy, as you put it.
In the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Could be.
Of sorts.
I don't know the name of
kinda
it.
Kind of looks like it.
The song is We Kiss in a Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
We kiss.
Yeah.
It was very.
That was the main reason I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I which it might be a good time to point out, too, that him and I believe Tupton and Anna were all dubbed during the movie. All their voices.
Always disappointing.
Yeah, but with him, I knew it was dubbed, and I wondered to myself, why did they pick that voice? No, it wasn't a bad voice. It's just not my style of vocals. There was an element of super cheesy.
It doesn't really fit the character, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just so
Yeah, at least the king when he sang A Puzzlement.
Because that is really him, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, because Yul Brynner, who played the king, actually was the king on Broadway before the movie version.
Okay.
Yul Brynner has been the king in so many different versions of this, apparently.
Al Brynner? Al Brynner?
Yul Brynner. I thought you were correcting how I say Yul Brynner.
Nope, but just really going over the edge to try to get the joke.
Brynner?
I hardly know her. See, that even makes more sense. Al Brynner? No, I won't.
Okay. Yes, that makes more sense.
All right, well, just forget it.
Already have.
I feel really valued.
Did you like that song or no?
You know, I think that it's a good opportunity to have like a really nice, sweet, short, little ditty. But it was a little much.
When they were making this musical, they felt like there should be a romantic element in the musical, but they didn't want it to be between the king and Anna. So they just made up these characters based on the memoirs of the lady that actually wrote it, which she eventually said that these characters weren't even real. So she made them up too. They wanted to put romance into the movie. And I felt like the issue of independence and slavery and how a king should earn respect instead of demanding it. I felt like those are deeper issues than just like, let's run away together, you know? And I understand, like, it works fine, I think. But it's just one of those things that I didn't necessarily connect with. Like, one of the things when I walk away from this musical, I'm not like, I learned so much about young love, you know? I'm more impressed with the tackling things like slavery and stuff like that.
Slavery. We needed one of the wives to have some sort of opposition to being a wife because all the other ones they don't have a problem with it. They're very into it. There's no, we don't feel any sort of, like, we're like, they're cool with it. I mean, I wouldn't be, but they're fine. So I guess whatever.
I guess my point is, we understood there was a secret romance, but
we didn't need a song about it.
Yeah, they didn't need to spoon feed it to us. Like,
for the spoiled little babies.
Yeah. We're not little babies. We are grown men.
Yeah, I'm a sir.
And women.
Can we talk about why they call her a sir?
Sure. I don't really remember. Something about a scholar.
Because women, they basically be say, like, you have knowledge and you're like a scientist, essentially. And so we respect you more than we respect women. That was so sad. You didn't feel remorse?
No, I just felt like they were ill-informed. I didn't feel sad
for
them. You said,
excuse me, let me mansplain that for you.
I did not say that.
You are ill-informed, sir.
Oh, boy.
How about, oh girl? Why can't we say that?
Oh, girl?
Yeah, instead of oh, boy.
Yep.
I'm trying to change you a little bit at a time. Getting to change you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, girl.
Okay, Elise, I have some lyrics for you. Would you like to guess what song they are from?
I would like to guess what song they are from.
All right, let's go.
Hey, wait a second. I gotta know. What song is that from?
First lyric. Are you ready?
I am ready.
This is an easy one.
Yeah.
No, really.
Okay.
George?
So, George.
Yeah, let me say it again.
Mm-hmm.
George.
Now, I understand that happens during the nice big play.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't consider that like a song.
Oh, it's a song.
So, I guess it's the song of the small house of Uncle Thomas.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay. George.
You got it. George. I don't remember if that's exactly how it went,
that
but I'm pretty sure.
Really correct.
All right. You got one so far. And
one's better than none.
Are you I was just about to ask if you're trying to get all five today. Of course you are. What a stupid question.
I only want to get 4.5.
Here's your second set of lyrics. Mm-hmm. The result of this deception is very strange to tell.
Whistle while you work. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, whistle a happy tune.
Okay, yeah.
Well, you got that one quick. Why did you get that so quick?
Because I remember when she says deception. And I was thinking it's kind of an interesting, that word has a connotation to it. So using that word to convey like a happy tune is just an interesting idea.
Yeah. It's a weird word to put in a song anyway.
Yeah.
It's
except
just like,
for like The Lion King 2, where they're like, deception.
Yes.
Disgrace.
The Lion King 2. Keep quoting The Lion King 2 for all the fans of The Lion King 2 out there.
Have you never seen Lion King 2?
I don't think it was even called The Lion King 2.
Oh. What
was it I think it was called The Lion King 1.5.
No, wasn't there a Lion King 2 and then they went back and made a 1.5? That was like The Lion King 3 that nobody asked for.
Nobody asked for any more Lion Kings than the first one.
But Lion King 2 was good.
I can't believe that.
Ask Rodney.
Ask Rodney?
He'll know.
Okay, let me call him up real fast. Hold on, let me get my phone out.
Okay. Can you really call him?
No, it's midnight.
Oh, it is.
I'm going to call him, hey, was The Lion King 2 good?
But wouldn't that be funny?
It would be funny, but that's not what I'm arguing.
Especially if you woke him up in the middle of the night. To ask.
Moving on.
Let's do
you've
that.
You've got 2 out of 5 so far. So here is your third lyric.
Okay.
This is from The King and I, not from The Lion King 2.
The Lion King and I. Why didn't I make that?
I don't know. That would have been a weird crossover, huh? The Lion King and I.
He's married to a bunch of wildebeests.
Yeah. And like this one little like meerkat has to come and teach them all how to speak meerkat. I don't know. I don't think the plot would work like that.
No, that's all I want to see.
Okay, are you ready for your third set of lyrics?
Yep.
On a bright cloud of music, shall we fly?
On a bright cloud of music, shall we fly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, girl.
Thank you. Would that be, shall we dance?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, dang, dong.
Yeah, Shall We Dance. What did you think of that song?
I liked it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Next?
I think for a lot of songs, like this musical had a lot of songs where I was like, all right. Like when it ended, I was just
you're
like,
not arguing with
that's
it.
Fine. Yeah, like it happened and I'm not upset that it exists or anything. I was just like, okay, well. I did feel like that moment though where he like puts his hands on her hips or
very
whatever.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it was also very effective. Just like the build up the whole movie.
Oh yeah.
Like not just the scene that scene, but like the whole movie kind of had to build up to that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the audience really feels what they're feeling in that moment.
Oh yeah, I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay, so you got 3 out of 5. Let's move on.
Well,
to...
3 out of 3 so far. Get it right.
Wow.
All right, continue.
Get it right, she says. Here is your fourth lyric. Get that right. Here's your fourth lyric. He will not always say what you would have him say.
Oh, I know what it was. One of the wives was singing to Anna about the king. And you're not giving me anything to go on.
No, I honestly don't remember. So.
I don't know what that song is called. We didn't talk. Oh, Something Wonderful.
There we go.
That's what it is.
Something Wonderful.
The one wife is just standing there talking about he'll say these awful things and it makes you feel hurt and disappointed, but then he'll say this one nice thing, and then you're just like floating away on cloud 9.
I guess that was an okay song.
I liked it.
Okay, so Great job.
Thank you.
You've gotten 4 so far, and I only have 1 more, and I think you're going to get it.
All right, well, let's find out.
In my head are many facts of which I wish I was more certain I was sure.
Oh, puzzlement.
Yep.
Yes!
I made that too easy.
Too easy. Well, I mean, I literally just watched this, so
yeah,
that definitely helps.
And that song is the King singing, which they tried to keep his broken English, and so that's very evident in
right
of which I wish I was more certain I was sure. What?
It almost it makes sense,
but it's just not. I mean, if you spoke English as a first language. Probably wouldn't say it that way.
Don't make fun of Yul Brynner.
My Brynner? I mean, no, I did the joke wrong.
You just missed it. So close. Dang it. So close.
Wait, when you get all 5, is that an exciting round of what song is that from? Or is it a boring round of what song is that from?
I mean, for me, I feel empowered.
Okay.
I feel good. I can move mountains.
I think you win something wonderful.
Which is?
A girl. I got you this present. It's a girl. Do you accept?
I don't. I'd have to feed her.
You don't have to.
Well, either that or be charged for murder.
Murder?
I hardly know her.
Okay, moving on.
All right.
Let's talk about this small house.
Let's talk about it.
I have it listed as small house and little house.
Little house on the prairie?
Let's talk about the small house of Uncle Thomas. This whole scene.
I think we should.
This is where a gang of wives.
A gang?
A gang of wives perform this.
This is like West Side Story.
They perform this American written book about slavery to these British officers, and they're a bunch of Siamese women. So
that just sounds like a very interesting sentence.
Do you have good things to say or bad things to say about it?
I have great things to say.
Was that sarcasm?
No. How do you not know at this point?
I don't know.
You should know.
But okay, so if you're saying you're about to say good things, then let me say this too. This was my favorite scene.
Oh,
no, this is my favorite scene in the whole thing.
Okay.
I thought it was fantastic. It was very engaging. But what do you think about it? I'm interested.
Oh, I mean, I was so encapsulated just the entire time.
Still sarcastic.
Yeah, no, I'm not being sarcastic at all. But I could watch that all day. It's like, it's such an interesting cultured way to like do a play in a very unique way with like really interesting choreography. And like, I loved how the one girl, Eliza, like when she was, what's her name, right?
Eliza. I think so.
Once I said it, I was like, oh, that doesn't.
I think it was Eliza. That sounds familiar.
I'm pretty sure. When she was running and she would just have her one foot up and hop on the other foot, but it did kind of look like a running motion, like it would if it was like a flip book.
Or like when they were on the ice on the frozen river and they kept like, they would like scoot their feet so it looked like they were sliding on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that.
And I would love to see that live. Like, I think that'd be so cool.
Yeah, earlier I was watching a performance of it live, like some random local theater group somewhere performed it live, and they put a lot of energy into it. I was really impressed. It was almost like exactly like the movie version. And I think it plays really well, like having seen it now with a live audience.
Instead of a dead audience.
Yeah. I mean, you hate those stiffs.
Just get them to the funeral place.
Get them to the funeral place, as I always say.
Always.
And it's just cool to take something that's like such an American thing, like the Uncle Tom's Cabin, and have it translated to this strange thing to where it's almost, you don't even recognize it, but the heart of the story was still there.
Well, it was very creative. And
yes,
I mean,
creative, that's a good word.
Is it really believable that one person choreographed all that stuff? I don't know.
No, especially in a week.
But
the British will be here in a week.
The British are coming.
And quick, she said, grab your masks.
She said, no problem, Bob.
But I feel like it was also interesting to have the education of what it means to be not a barbarian through the use of the American struggle of slavery, like how you should treat people.
How did you feel about Tuppyware? about her trying to speak out?
I think she should have kept her mouth shut.
Whoa, no, typical man answer.
No, I thought that was fine. What do you mean? What are you trying to get me to say?
Well,
what should I say, mister?
Well, I thought she was going to, like, once she stepped forward and she started saying things, I thought it was going to be this very, like, in front of everyone, like, you're holding me against my will, you are a barbarian, like, that sort of vibe, and I thought that was going to cause a lot of interesting reactions at this very civilized dinner that they were having.
Yes, civilized, yes.
But instead, she pulled a Sound of Music, and she just left, you know, as soon as the play was over.
I don't know. I feel like it played out how it would have probably played out in real life. Like, she felt like she had her platform to say what she needed to say. Nobody charged her. Like, no guards came and said, like, took her away because they were still trying to impress the British. But she didn't try to press her luck, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, so. They were like, get back in line. And she was like, okay. So I said what I needed to say, and now I'm going to peace out.
Yeah.
But then she gets caught, and then the king, basically, he's like, okay, time to whip somebody. So he brings good old Tupton, which, Tupperware. By the way, they then said that her lover dies in a river.
Yeah.
Or something.
You think they just, like, killed him?
I felt like that was an unnecessary twist in the plot as well.
Sad.
I just felt like, did we really have to have him die? Like, especially since, like, she was about to get whipped, and the king was like, okay, I shouldn't whip you. And then she's like, oh, good, I got away without getting whipped. And they're like, oh, but your lover is dead.
But your soul, like, got to be whipped.
Your soul's about to be whipped.
I mean, I thought that was sad.
And then the king feels sad, so sad that he, like, stays in his room for, like, weeks and weeks and just gets so sick.
Gets weak.
Yeah, so that was weird, right? Do you not think that was weird? I thought it was going to be a trick. Here's what I thought was...
he stays in his room?
No, like that he got sick to where he was going
to
die.
I have things to say about this. We're jumping into this now?
Yeah, let's talk about the king's death because here's what I thought was going to happen. They came to her and said, hey, we know you're about to leave, but the king's dying and we need you to come talk to him. I thought she was going to be like, okay, and then go there, and he was going to be like, JK, you just wouldn't come see me. I'm not actually dying. And I just want you to stay here and be my wife or something. I don't know. I don't know what was going to happen, but I didn't expect him to really be sick with grief or whatever. Like, he was so upset about his actions that he got sick.
Well, that's
just weird.
That's kind of the question. Like, that's what I would like to know. What did it? Who's the culprit?
Right.
So I'm thinking, he's depressed because a lot of reasons, I guess. I mean, he definitely feels something for Anna, and he probably understands that, like, that ain't never going to happen. And then he's got all these wives, and he doesn't have happiness from that. He doesn't have, like, because of his culture, he has to keep up this
facade.
Yes, of being this all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty king. And he's got to be tough all the time, and he can't really live up to that. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons, I guess, I could see him being depressed. Mm-hmm. But for him to just straight up, like, kick the bucket, I didn't think that was going to happen, because I thought if it's depression, it would end up with him maybe sharing some of that with her and her kind of, you know, helping him through it. But maybe it's also that thing of him keeping up his facade, and it was like he wanted change, but he just couldn't be the one to do it. And he knew that, like, his son had learned from Anna, and his son had been taught this new idea of, you know,
like that.
Let's respect everybody. Let's earn respect.
I like that point of view.
So then he's like, I can't handle it, but I'm going to have my son do it and pretend like I'm like crossing my arms.
Well, speaking of the king's death, I think we should play Fact or Faked.
Fact or Faked.
Now that's a fact, baby. But this is a very special themed version of Fact or Faked because all of these facts have to do with the king's death.
Interesting.
So basically, I'm going to give you three facts, and one of them's fake, and you have to guess the fake fact. Are you ready?
Sure.
First fact. Mm-hmm. Fox executives suggested that the story be changed so that the king would be gored by a white elephant instead of becoming ill because of personal humiliation.
Gored?
That is
by a white
gored
elephant?
Gored by a white
Does
elephant.
Does that mean... Why don't you say what you think that means?
What, gored?
Yeah.
By a white elephant?
Yeah. I just want to make sure I know what exactly
like
what that
tusks,
means.
Like tusks? Like rammed into his gutty works?
I'm sorry. Whom?
You know.
Gutty works?
Yeah. Elephant tusks like penetrating the king's skin and rearranging his gutty works?
You speak to me as if this is a common theme that everyone knows.
I do. So, that is your first fact.
Okay.
The second fact. In real life, the king died of malaria.
Okay.
Third fact. In the stage production, Anna returns to England and receives word of the king's death in a letter. She never returns to Siam.
Siam confused. So, here's the deal.
Yes.
It's definitely... either A or C.
You think for sure the real king died of malaria?
Yes, because when I was looking up the names of the songs, I definitely saw the word malaria on that page. So it's got to be what that was.
That could have just been a random internet malaria.
It could have been like, hey guys, like I'm the person writing this and I have malaria.
You've never been on the internet. You know how pop-ups happen and... like, you've never just seen a random malaria pop up?
Normally, it's like, hey, get tested for malaria. And I'm like, get out of here with your pop-ups. I don't need that.
They say, congratulations, you have malaria.
So that can't be it. It definitely could be true that she returns and gets a letter and doesn't come back. Because I feel like that's something... it could happen. Then the whole idea of him getting stabbed by an elephant, I feel like I wouldn't think that that's true, but it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with C being fake.
Bing!
Yes!
Yeah, so in the stage production, the stage musical actually ends pretty much the same way the film version did. But actually, in real life, Anna Leon Owens... returned to England and received word of the king's death in a letter, and she never went back to Siam. She kept in touch with the prince, but she never went back. So, kind of sad. Sad.
It is. I just love that that kid wanted more boat races.
Yeah.
It's like, and I declare more boat races.
Didn't he say, why boat races? And he was like, why not?
He said, because I like boat races.
Yeah.
I was like, that's my kind of king.
So you really did enjoy this musical. So what would you rate it then?
I have to go first?
Yeah. You don't have to, but you get to.
I get to. I'm going to give it a 9.
Just for the content? Like as far as the message, the heart of it? Or did you really enjoy the music that much too?
I really liked the plot. I felt like I understood the points that they were trying to make. I felt like I understood a lot of the characters as far as what motivates them. Like, I feel like you get insight to a lot of different people's minds. And I like that. Yeah. I like kind of knowing what everybody's about. I mean, I feel like the music is all that overwhelming, or it's not a ton of it really.
I think probably the reason, in my opinion, the reason it feels like there's not much music is because I think a lot of the music is forgettable. There's great songs like the Getting to Know You and Hello Young Lovers. But like at a certain point, with the exception of the Small House of Uncle Thomas, I think of a lot of the songs in the second half of the movie are just kind of like meshed together in some weird, like soothing, like they're very soothing sounding songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just kind of lulls you into this like illusion that there aren't actual songs. My foot's asleep.
We'll wake it up. We ain't done yet.
He must have watched the second half of
The King and I. Oh, James. Straight roast. Unforgettable.
No, I liked it, though, for the most part.
Well, what'd you really think? Wait, before you say what you think, I just want to add.
Yes.
I'm giving it a 9. The ways that it can improve, make it clear to me about the king's death.
Come on. You really want to know?
I want to know.
About that death.
I want to know
you
because.
You are obsessed with death.
I love death. I love the Grim Reaper. And I also just think, like you said, I mean, I think there's some songs that could be improved upon. But like, if we're judging it, if we cut everything out of the movie and we only had the little house of Uncle Thomas, I'd be like, 9.
9.
9.
I really liked it too, but...
A 2?
No. I'd probably give it a 7.5, maybe.
Okay.
No. Oh. 7.25.
You went down?
Yeah,
I went down. That was cold.
Well,
that was ice cold like snow.
I wanted to give it a 7, but that sounded cruel, so I gave it a 7.5, cruel. But that sounded generous. So wow. I compromised.
With yourself?
I compromised with myself. Like I said, I just feel like a lot of the songs are forgettable. And the ones that aren't forgettable just aren't great songs. Like, I don't think A Puzzlement is a forgettable song, but it's not a good song necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Or the We Kiss in a Shadow.
But maybe if we had better singers, we would appreciate those songs.
Yeah,
more.
And also maybe if we've had more time to roast it. I mean, roast it.
Whoa. No,
maybe if we had more time to
I think you mean marinate.
Marinate.
Which goes along with roast.
Yes. Maybe if we've had more time to absorb it, I think.
Maybe if we had more time to cook that chicken.
That's what I'm saying. I think I would appreciate some of this some more. So guys, remember, this is just me saying what I thought, you know,
as a first
time watching it. Yeah, first timer.
Timer.
I hardly know her. Okay, so we got a 9 and a 7.25. No, I liked the plot more than the music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not giving it a 2. Or whatever.
Okay.
Not that I would give it a 2 if whatever, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I really did appreciate the message and the character development, and even that it wasn't black and white. Like
it was in color.
Oh my gosh! But we didn't find out the reason the king died. You know, I'm actually okay with that because
you said you wanted to get him gored by an elephant.
No, I said that was an option.
I don't know. I got one tell me why question.
Tell me why
he says he's got like 5 kids that are about to be born in a month and we don't see one pregnant lady in the whole film.
I don't think we were privy to viewing all of his wives.
I mean, one of them would have walked through somewhere at some point.
No, maybe in the Siamese culture, a pregnant woman is to lay on her back for 9 months. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, let's keep just making up stuff.
We should have this as a segment. You should always ask a question, and I should always give an answer that makes no sense.
I think, yeah, but I think you've got to do your little whistle and give your answer confidently, you know, as if you know it to be true. It's a fact. It's right there.
Guys, I think that's going to do it for The King and I. Guys and gals. Guys is when you use it in that context, it incorporates all genders. It's not gender specific.
Well, you know, we just want to make sure we're applying what we just learned from the movie, et cetera. You didn't learn
nothing.
No, you're rewatching nothing. This movie.
No. No, I am not.
You said you wanted to earlier.
I'm watching the 1999 version, the animated version.
Okay.
I don't want to watch it right now. Yeah, I'll watch it again in the future, but not right now.
I know, but I'm just saying you need to watch it again so you can make sure you learn all the lessons.
I knew all those lessons.
And yet you started this off by saying, why haven't I received a girl as a present?
Well, yeah. That's a legitimate question, though, but that has nothing to do with any... Guys, next week, we are talking about the musical Hairspray. I have not seen it. Yet another one I have not seen. Elise is already snapping her little fingies.
Already dancing. Good morning, Baltimore.
I'm assuming that's from Hairspray?
No.
Oh. Did you move? Is it morning already?
Yeah.
Hairspray, guys, it's coming right at you. We're spraying it in your face. And follow us on Twitter at WRLM Podcast or on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals. And you can help us with an alternate title for Hairspray. What do you think it should have been called? Moose? Gel? I don't know. I have not seen it yet. So anyways, thanks again for listening, guys. This has been We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals. I'm James and
I'm Elise,
and we'll see you guys on the flippity.
Catch you on the flippity flip, etc., etc., etc.
Musicals, jazzy.